God be with you, Zulmai. I will see you soon, inshallah. It was a fine morning. The first time in Kabul that I'd been outside in daylight. Zulmai shook my hand. Good luck, Mr. Edward, he said as I stepped out into the street. Chapter 1. Preparing for War. My career as a journalist got off on the wrong foot. I'd always dreamed of becoming a foreign correspondent and idolized the leading figures of the 1970s and early 80s. I'd eagerly read the memoirs of James Cameron, the celebrated foreign correspondent of the Daily Express, and read accounts by reporters and photographers who'd covered the Vietnam War. While studying at Cambridge, I carried a clipping in my wallet of a column in the Times by my then hero, Robert Fisk, entitled Letter from Sidon. It was a beautifully observed story about a Lebanese family struggling to come to terms with the havoc wrought by the civil war, and it summed up everything about being a foreign correspondent I wanted to emulate. I loved the idea of travelling overseas to places of great drama, taking personal risks to report on conflict or human tragedy, and trying to capture what was happening for an audience back home. On the day that I graduated, I read a profile of Mick Jagger in the Times, in which he said that had he not become a pop star, journalism would have been his thing. It struck me then that perhaps journalism might not have to remain just a dream for me. With a modern history and economics degree under my belt, the economics was a bit of an anomaly since I can barely add, let alone tackle long division or statistics. I thought if it's good enough for Mick, then it'll do for me too. But in my chaotic way, I missed the first boat on my own journey to Sidon. I was late applying to the journalism postgraduate program at City University in East London, and I ended up on its periodicals course. This was not a training for newspapers, but for magazines, and it led, inexorably, not to a job on the Birmingham Post or the Times, but satellite and cable television news. After a year of earnestly exploring the imminent revolution in the way television would be delivered to our homes, I graduated to the slightly more mainstream broadcast magazine, the weekly television industry news and gossip organ. In the spring of 1985, the 24-year-old staff writer of Broadcast was sitting like a caged tiger in a second-floor open-plan office, above the scented precincts of the Body Shop on Carnaby Street in London's West End, ruminating yet again on the central and all-enveloping issue of his working life. How do I get out of here and into newspapers where I belong? Then the phone rang. Hi, Ed, it's James. It was the confident, clipped voice of James Blunt. Although he was a couple of years my senior, I'd got to know him pretty well after a mutual friend with whom I was at Cambridge briefly dated one of his sisters. James, who was then working for a small merchant bank in the city, had been at Oxford. With the upright bearing of a young army officer, he was good-looking and an inveterate woman-chaser. The product of a classic English prep school, public school, Oxbridge education, he was the best-informed and most articulate person I knew, with a clinical and exacting intellect. James knew his history and his politics, and in his company, I instinctively deferred to his judgment. He also had a reputation as a tenacious climber of any mountain that did not require ropes or crampons, and his Notting Hill flat was decorated with the photos of his conquests. The mountains, that is, not the women. Although in many ways a young establishment figure, there was a wild streak in Blunt that I understood and warmed to. But even so, what he said next took me completely by surprise. I've decided to go to Afghanistan. What? Afghanistan. Oh. My mind was racing as I tried to remember where Afghanistan actually was. As usual, James had wrong-footed me and I struggled to sound on the ball. I've had enough of this job, he continued, and I've decided to go to Afghanistan and do some reporting. What, on the Mujahideen? The Mujahideen. How on earth are you going to do that? Where are you going to report from? The plan is to travel out to Pakistan, he continued, sounding like a lieutenant colonel briefing the troops, to Peshawar in the northwest frontier province, and then travel inside Afghanistan.